Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Tonight I want to welcome back to the show Michael Wan. He's an artist, astrologer, and independent researcher. He is known for the Susquehanna Mystery, the Starboard Ceremony, and the Rites of the 40th Parallel. He navigates by pointing his compass towards uniqueness, patterns, mimicry, resonance, and universal truths. Michael, welcome back. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm doing as great as you can when you're on this roller coaster ride. Thanks for having me here. How are you doing?
Oh, I am doing excellent as well. I've got so many projects going. I'm getting good vibes. I just have an overall feeling that at the end of this, we're going to come out maybe better than before. It's just this feeling I have deep inside. But tonight, I really want to go as deep as possible when it comes to things that are unseen, things that could possibly be going on. Those at the top of the power pyramid, they have not only shaped society through various black projects, staged events, the media and Hollywood, but I believe they also know how to manipulate the hidden forces that may exist around us at all times, possibly giving them great power. And while these few at the top use this force for fear, control, and power, I also believe that we can access this and use it for positive creation, manifestation, and even manipulate a timeline that could change the course of our future. But all that being said, you have some fascinating rabbit holes to take us down tonight. And so where should we start with this? There's so much going on.
There's so much. So right now is what? Is it the 27th? Is today the 27th of March?
Yes.
So the way I see it is like some time ago, like sometime in the last 10, 14 days, like we as a collective group of people, of culture, of humanity, of everyone who's on this thing, which we're calling Earth, we've been on a roller coaster ride really since 1945, which started out kind of tame and it's getting wilder and wilder. And we've gotten kind of like used to it, but have you ever been on a roller coaster that like you start outside and then you drop down and then you go in a tunnel? And then you're like, you know, the roller coaster was nuts enough, but now I'm in the friggin' tunnel and now I don't even know what, and there's flashing lights and they're screaming and you're like, what is going on? I thought I understood. And so that's kind of where I see we're finding ourselves right now, but it's happening in slow motion. And what I think, what's so interesting, I was listening to you give me that bio. And that bio, or read that bio. And I gave that bio to you. You asked me before the show, can you send something over? And I went and I looked at the last time I was on your show and just resent what was sent. So that was in November, so 5-6 months ago. And I was listening to read that, and that felt so friggin' irrelevant. Because it's like the game's changed. One way or the other, the game's changed. And we're going to go and see to the degree in which that change is going to manifest to be. But it's like no matter where you are, no matter how you prepared, no matter how you view, like, I don't know what we're in. I don't know if this is a computer simulation. I don't know if this is baseline reality. I don't know none of that. All I know is this thing that we're in, it just changed. And at the same time, I think every single person that's, if you're listening to this, or, you know, you're not listening to this if I'm saying this, but if you're listening to shows like this, you're at a place internally that you knew something was, you're getting ready for something. Everyone kind of knew that on a certain level. If you look back at like culture, like really, you know, I'm going to go and talk about my culture, but really the first Star Wars film in 1977, when they put that Luke Skywalker vibe into the collective consciousness. I mean, that story's been around before, but not to that level. And that level of like, you know, being that like, oh, I'm a Jedi. I'm a, you know, I didn't know this. I thought I was a regular dude. And then you're awakening up. And at the same time, like you've got this rich, like deep inner life filled with demons and other shit. And then it's like, you know, I'm just trying to go and do and oil these droids for my uncle. And now I'm going to the middle of the Death Star. Like, I mean, that's where we're finding that collectively. And that's where we're finding that, that individually. And that's what I'd like to talk about tonight. I'd like to talk about it in two ways. I'd like to talk about it, one, in the experience level. Like, you know, like, I just want to tell you, this is what's going on. And I'm gonna paint that picture. But I also want to say, like, this is how it was done. Like, so you can kind of go and see the mechanisms, because this is meeting everyone where they are. Like, you know, if you're sound asleep, if you're super duper awake, if you're somewhere in between, it's like, guess what? It's meeting you right there. And so this is transcendental that way. And it's possible, you know, there's this little voice, there's a voice inside of my head. And I agree with you. I've got a good feeling about all this, but there's this one piece, which is like, wouldn't it just be absolutely outrageous on April 1st, there'll be like April Fool's. Like, that would be the ultimate April Fool's joke. Like, if we can swing that, because I ultimately believe this is a real thing. This is really happening in a material way, but it is happening on a level which is non-material, which is driving the material. And yes, it's being scripted and manipulated. And yes, you have a play in this part. And yes, you've trained for this your entire life. Whatever your system has been is whatever the hell you've been doing for the days up until now. And it's like, you know, now it's game on. But it's kind of like, you know, it's Luke Skywalker. It's like, or it's whatever your whatever metaphor has resonated with you.
Yeah, it's like each of our own hero's journey. Ever since I was a kid, I was telling somebody this the other day. I've always felt like it's during my lifetime, I'm going to live through something huge, and I'm going to have some kind of role to play in it. And ever since I started waking up a few years ago, I noticed everyone else started following suit. More people started questioning their own reality, questioning things behind the scenes. And it seems like a mass preparation for this. I think a lot of souls are awakening in order to help out during this period of time. I'm feeling a major calling to, you know, gather as much and share as much information and knowledge with people more than ever now before. And it's just it's a fascinating thing to see this going on globally with so many people that are feeling the same things. There is a lot of division going on because there's so much disinformation out there that's intentionally dividing people. But there is a mass awakening at this perfect moment, and there is something huge happening behind the scenes, and I can feel that too.
I couldn't agree with you more. I would describe, or at least the way I'm looking at this, are you familiar with the book, manuscript, I don't know what you call it, The Art of War by Sun Tzu? So... And that's taken in a lot of different ways. Like, you know, it's metaphorical for the business world, or it's like, you know, these are real practices for life or what have you, or this is like actual military strategy and all this sort of stuff. That's being applied to us in expert form right now. The degree of, so what I mean by that is, if you are realistically awake, and realistically awake means is like, guess what? There's probably a blind spot in the way I understand it. If you can't say that, well, then you're not realistically awake. You're a true believer, which that's just part of the journey. We all got part of that. But if you have that realism in your viewpoint, you know, everything has to be on the table. And that's where, you know, it's so we're going back to the art of war. So when we go and we look at what's happening, it's like this is being done to us. And the primary part of the art of war, the primary lesson is that your enemy does not realize there's a war against them, and they do not know who the enemy is. And so that's what I was getting at with the blind spot is like, you know what, like we might think we know who the enemy is, like, oh, it's myself. It's the Jesuits. It's the Jews. It's the aliens. It's the Anunnaki. It's like, it's all of them. It's Satan. It's Saturn. You know, I don't know what it is, but there's something. And yep, they're coming out, and we kind of know this. And it feels like, did you ever see the movie called Batman Begins?
Yes. Yes.
there was a scene where, like, so you got Batman and he, like, goes to Mongolia and he's in a jail and, like, he, like, somehow gets out of the jail and then he's taken into this, like, secret, top secret monastery deep in the Himalayas, and he's, like, learning all of the arts. And then all of a sudden, his final test is, like, he's giving this hardcore hallucinogenic and he has to fight for his life. And I'm like, all right, that's what's happening right now. Like, that's the art of war that's brought upon you. And what we're seeing outside in day-to-day reality is an absolute, perfectly timed attack on humanity, on being human, on the collective human, and on the individual human. And there's so much going on, but I want to first talk about, like, what's happening to the human being collectively and individually. So we can think about, there are two ways of looking at it. It's like, one is just like the general isolation and what's happening with the isolation. And if you're in prison and you're a bad boy in prison, they put you in the hole. They put you in solitary confinement. And they know that that is the worst thing that you can do to a person. If you are in a community, if you are in a tribe, if you are in a village, the worst thing that can happen to you is to be shunned or to be excommunicated. And so it's like you're on your own. And so there's something inherent within the human psyche, which is being triggered. It's being triggered. So that's happening. And it's being happened in this, like, really, really devious way, because it's using, like, absolute terror. Now I'm talking about for the typical person. So this is the mass mind. It's giving them absolute terror. Oh, this is the scariest thing in the world. And then, but I'm going to take care of you. And this is what you do. You just got to stay at home. Everything's going to be okay. I'm going to give you $1,000 check in the mail. And that is just, like, that's horrendous. Like, this is someone who is terrified. This is being done. They're put in their house. They're getting put in the hole. They don't know how long. Sleep deprivation. No one's been, like, all of this is brand new. So that's going on. Now, the second part of this is the human being by nature is a social creature. So there is, like, there's always an opposite, and there's a certain thing about being alone from being human is important. Yeah, that's definitely very true. But, like, too much, unless you're at a very, very high echelon, and we'll talk about that later. But we are social creatures. And if you go and you look at the physiological model of being human, and who I think does it the best they're still around. It was called HeartMath. And this was, like, in the early 2000s, they were putting out a whole bunch of stuff about, like, doing studies on primarily the electromagnetic field created by the heart in comparison to the electromagnetic field compared to the brain, like all the frequencies. And then also realizing that it has to do with something known as the heart variation rate, maybe, but it has to do with the timing between the beats, and the controlling of that brings about, it brings about a coherence, which then shows itself in many, many ways. But the point I'm trying to make with this is what they discovered, and they were able to show in a very objective way, is that the energetic field, which is produced by this main engine in our physical being, like, you know, if you think this sounds mumbo jumbo, put your hand on your chest. Do you feel something beating? Like, that's your generator. Like, where is that coming from? I don't know, but it's there. And so that puts out a field, and that field is strongly felt by mechanisms that can measure these fields 3 feet. It's got a 3-foot diameter from the center of your chest. So when we're not allowed to be within 6 feet of each other, we are being kept away. We're being kept away from this thing that just always happens. Like, yeah, there's sometimes I don't want someone in my field, but it's like, we're used to that. And even if you're living on that, like, this is, or what, you're following that directly or you're not following, now all of a sudden there's a psychological tinge which wasn't there before. Like, am I walking too close? You know, if I'm out in public, or, you know, am I going to catch something? Like, it is a huge, huge attack. And at the same time, we're being like almost forced at each other. It's like, you know, something's off. No one's telling you it's off. The authority is telling you everything's okay. We got it in control. It's terrifying, but don't worry. You just do this. And then, you know, maybe, and this is the new normal. It's probably not going to come back. And this is so coordinated, and it's so like it's inhumane right now. At the same time, we're seeing a worldwide coordination of the 5G network, which is a drastically different of any of the G's which we've seen before. And so that just, this is what's happening to each of us, like right now.
Now, you mentioned, you know, how everyone is in a state of fear, and that fear is so powerful right now. It circles the whole globe. You know, I know a lot of people who are in good spirits. I know a lot of people who are handling this, you know, the best they can, but they can't help. There's this major underlying darkness surrounding all of this. And you mentioned the coordinated effort, around the globe. I'm just wondering, you know, those that coordinate this, let's get into that. How is this all coordinated, and some of the reasonings behind it? And if you have to go into any other history to get into that, let's do that.
Okay. I first wanted to comment about like the fear and what is going to be happening, because I want to end that on an upswing, because like what I said is a truth, and what's going to happen is there's going to be like waves of grief, and each person is going to handle that differently, but it's going to give them the opportunity to come face to face with whatever they got to come face to face with. And that's the Star Wars story. And that's the Hero of 10,000 Faces. That's my pet Goat Part 2. Like, guess what? This is how it's happening. They told you it's going to happen. They showed you it's going to happen, and it's happening. And it's like, we each now get to decide how we're going to respond, dependent upon we've been prepping for 10 or 15 years, and we're like, you know, I bugged out like a month ago. It's like, well, what are you going to do now? Or if you're like, I always knew this was coming and I got a couple cans of water, or you're somewhere in between, or like you're totally like, I certainly hope the government opens up a camp. I'd love to go to that. Like, you know, we've got this whole continuum, like everyone means well, and we're all going to come face to face with what we got to come face to face with. And some of it's going to be more physical, and some of it's going to be more emotional, and some of it's going to be more mental, and some of it's just going to be like experiential, spiritual, but, or maybe it's all four, but that's what's coming. And so it's like, we've each prepared for that. And the better we've prepared for it, we're going to know by our degree of where we're going to find like the, what to do. Like something's going to become very clear as to what to do. I mean, that's without a doubt. And, you know, we are in this together, but we're being forced to be separated. Like everything is inversed. So as long as you realize that your job is to reverse the mirror or reverse the inversion, you know, that's the navigate. That's how, if you're somewhat aware how you have to navigate with people, because people are going to flip the F out when you start telling them like, this is how they did it. Like, look right here. And, you know, it's COVID-19. And do you remember 9/11? And remember how it was like for the first 6 weeks after the 9/11, it was the 19 hijackers in 1919. And it's 19 years apart. It's like, this is part of a mass level touch on the etheric level. They call it state-sponsored magic. It's mass-level hypnosis, but it works like timeline creation. It's like, it's hard for us to envision it because we live within it. You have to realize you can't quite understand it because you're within it. It's like, if you are in a valley, let's say you're in the middle of like some beautiful outdoor, like open, just natural beauty for as far as you can see. And you're like kind of in a valley, and there's like a creek running there, and you can look up and you can see a range to the left and right. And you can kind of imagine, you're like, okay, well, what would it look like to see myself from the top of the mountain? And you can kind of imagine that, but you really can't. And you're probably going to be off for a little bit. So to really understand what's happening, you have to realize it's at a higher perspective than what we're capable of rationally understanding. So we can get rational to a point, and then we have to be like, you know, until I can get to that level myself, like, and I can understand it on that level, well, then I can't quite get it. And we're all like in these different variations. And so it's we understand it through metaphor, and we understand it through like, you know, it's the old analogy, like 20 people in a dark room touching an elephant, describing what they see. Like we may experience it very, very differently, but we're all experiencing the same thing or touching the same thing. So they did it with magic. That was one way. And then the actual, like, the mechanisms of how they did it as a culture, like, you have to realize this is all back to the granddaddy of all culture creation in really the West, but primarily in America, and that is the Rockefellers. And so that's where this all goes back to, and we can pick up this trail. Is this where we want to go? Are you want to hear this stuff right now?
Definitely. Let's go there.
All right, we're going to go. I'm going to do the share screen that we practiced a little bit earlier.
Let's see if I can do this.
All right.
There's so many layers that you have to peel back before you can even get close to some of the answers that the more metaphysical answers. You have to look beyond all the BS that's going right now. And I believe that at the heart of this, there are the answers are highly metaphysical, that the ether, whatever you want to call it, is being manipulated to further whatever this agenda is. But yeah, go ahead.
So, I mean, like, look right here. So here's the heart mouth. And this is like how you can envision it. Like, this pumping mechanism puts off a field. It's measured, you know, by, I don't know, whatever they're describing here. The electrical field is 60 times greater in amplitude than the electrical activity generated by the brain. And it can be detected up to 3 feet away. Right here is results from tests about how people interact and how their fields, like, literally they can measure the differences of when two people's fields come into play. Like, the metaphysics and the physical are one and the same. Like, once you begin to realize, like, it's like science is a technique to understand, to explain that which you can't see up until a point. So this is well known. Like, we know that, you know that, like, if you've ever had just like a straight up spiritual experience, spiritual teachings are all that. We got the science that has all that. What's interesting is astrology. The better you know your astrology, the more you can have understanding of how you navigate. But we could go back to that. And so this has been known for wow, what am I looking for? I'm looking for another slide which ties into this. So where is it? Give me a moment here. It was talking about how I can't find it. I want to find all of the detail on all of the patents between computer screens and being able to control the human electromagnetic field. Like, this was back in 2000. Like, this technology has been there. So we've got like this normal field which surrounds us. And when we're just like around other people and we're around like a natural environment, like our field, our heart, like taken away from a pure like mythical perspective, our heart is I gotta go back to this image. Our heart is where we interact, but it's primarily a receiver. It corresponds with Venus, and its primary yin energy is a way you can think about it. And it just is going to receive. And so when we're just even doing like regular life in regular society, like if you're living in like downtown Manhattan and you're still like squeezed in, like you're still around a lot of people and there's still like a different vibe and you're still having somewhat of a human experience. Now it's been totally like separated. And what you have is your TV or you have your computer. I mean, we're doing it right now, but there's an awareness. This is what they're doing. And it is who you are connecting with. And so this is part of the way which the human being is being influenced, because what we're seeing is not like the end game. What we're seeing is a transition to the next stage of user experience. User experience is changing. And primarily if you are within the system, because each person very soon is going to have to make a choice. In the most literal way, they're going to have to make a choice, and they're either in the system or they're not. And that's not as scary as it sounds, but you have to realize, like, once you understand that the system is just an inversion of a truth, every aspect, and you can't have any of it. Computers are an inversion of a truth. We're able to do whatever computers do for us in a way which is in harmony. I haven't done it yet, but I know that that's the way the world works. And I know that computers, even though good stuff may happen with it, the primary essence of a computer is the earth was destroyed for rare minerals. Slave labor was involved to make it. And like, you know, it's a defense industry sort of invention. And so it's like, its foundation is inherently destructive, in an inversion of the human who is naturally expansive and life-giving. That's part of the human experience. That's why we're all about the heart. And so what's happening is that heart is being dried up. It's being fed this like Ethernet, this etheric sort of like false energy. This is this art of war, and we are being then introduced to, and when I'm saying we, I'm talking more so like, you know, someone who's totally asleep. They're going to be introduced a new way of how they're going to interact, a new economy, new types of like, everything is going to be different. Their user experience will be different.
Yeah, I use one of the biggest targets for this. I mean, everybody has a cell phone in their hand right now. It's already changed the way we live our lives. It's changed everything. But the youth, they start at such a young age having a cell phone in their hands at all times, being super connected to this technology, you know, glued to their cell phones at all times. I can see how the younger generations have completely changed.
Totally.
And it's
totally.
A combination with that and the food and the air, the GMOs. It's all changing our DNA, I believe. It's changing everything about humans, you know?
Completely, 100% correct. And it's not just, it's whatever child is on the bleeding edge of time. Like when you were a child, it was true about you. When I was a child, it was true about me. Children, a six-year-old in the 50s, like, you know, some like grandparent is like, that child is going to be screwed up growing up like that. You know, this is what's happened since 1945, when after World War II, they took an entire generation of young men and they just gave them the biggest fucking mind fuck by sending them to like World War II, and they came back and their entire world was different. It was like, now you're going to go into a corporate world and you're going to go live in a cul-de-sac and here's Disney and here's like a TV. And they were just like, okay. And then they had like the 50s children. And then that was like introduction of like James Dean and like, you know, who's this Elvis Presley and all of this sort of beatnik stuff. And then the hippies and then the 70s, like each generation, like, culture has been changing us and technology has been changing us, and we've been getting further and further away from the way humanity once lived until this right to this exact moment. And you're absolutely right. Each generation gets more screwed up. They're given like one-year-olds. When you see a one-year-old, and this isn't judgment, like the parents doing it because like they think it probably is the best thing to do for the kid. They're stupid, but they're like, hey kid, have an iPad. They're going to be super smart one day. They got computers. Look, my kid, he can do this. And what's literally happening, I mean, I guess you could say that's a good thing. If you want to go and live in a cyberborg future, this is how you do it. Because the neural pathways of the child at the most developmental state is like, you know, they're wired in. It's you give a two-year-old like crack once a day for 3 months. Like you take a two-year-old, normal two-year-old, and then like, you know what? I'm going to start giving them some crack. And for like 3 months, you give that two-year-old crack, baby crack, and it starts getting really, really sick. And then someone takes it away and they raise the baby with like love and food and all sorts of stuff. And unfortunately, there's going to be something about the adult version of the crack baby, which just isn't right because the system has been screwed with. And so that's kind of happening. Now there's... our future potentially is going to look a whole lot more like a Philip K. Dick novel than we can imagine. And so like as a resistance to the mainstream, and the mainstream always includes part of a resistance. It's built into the plan. You know, a real resistance no one knows about. If you know about like the resistance, it's kind of built in to keep like the other people, you know, doing the stuff they should do. But there will be like, you know, some type of interaction with people who, I can't help but think that there is considerably more truth than what you could ever imagine. Even if you think there's truth in these Hollywood movies from the 80s and the 90s about technology than we can imagine. We don't understand the nature of our reality, and everything has communication in a very, very real, tangible way, not in a symbolic way, in a literal way.
Definitely. Media, TV, movies, the culture creation, it's all steering humanity in a certain way. But as far as where we are now, you know, take us to what's happening now. I guess continue where you were.
I'm always going to step behind. I'm going to hit the flexors, then I'll bring us back up. So, yeah. But right here, this was, I did pull up the information I was talking about. But this is how we got to where we are. So we have to realize that what's happening right now with this pandemic is being driven by cultures, indoctrination to love doctors, right? I mean, that's been going on for 50, 60 years. Like, doctors are the best. You know, doctors are the smartest. They're the most compassionate. Like, doctors, like, who you can trust. And, like, I'm not saying doctors aren't great people. I'm just saying, like, doctors are, like, all sorts of people. There's a lot of shitty electricians. And, like, some electricians are, like, standout human beings. Same thing with doctors. And but I am going to say there is a little bit different. There's a generally speaking, because each person is an individual, but generally speaking, the process to become a doctor was designed in a certain way to create a certain type of psychological archetype. Individuals may not fall under susception so much, but generally speaking, the law of big numbers, this is what you're going to get. And so doctors been put up on a pedestal from culture on one level. And then at the same time, like, medical school was created to attract a very, very certain type of person. Like, if you're going to go and become a doctor, you probably know that early on in life, because it requires, like, just like the nuts and bolts of getting into medical school, like, you got to get certain type of grades, and, like, you got to, like, be in certain clubs, and you got to do certain stuff. And, like, you know, it's a game. And so right away, if you're getting into the medical school, not only are you, like, willing to play the game, you probably play the game better than anyone, because that's why you got into medical school, because it's super duper competitive. Like, yeah, you got to be smart. You got to pass certain tests, and you have to be smart in a certain way. Like, that's what the tests do. They're like, all right, I got a certain type of intelligence, and I've got a certain type of drive and, like, desire. Like, I don't know why people are driven, but I do know that culture is saying, like, you know, if you're a doctor, everyone's going to think you're the smartest person. And if you're a doctor, you know, all this sort of stuff. So there's definitely an ego rub of being a doctor. And then when you go to medical school is an indoctrination. So it is known, like, if you talk to, like, anyone who's, like, an expert in education, not, like, in the educational system, but, like, in how human beings learn, like, the first thing they're going to tell you is, like, human beings learn when they are in a safe and a relaxed environment, and they're free to explore and, like, be challenged, but, like, you know, come back and, like, you know, like, play with different ideas and, like, all this different sort of stuff. Like, that is, that's how human beings learn, and they really, like, you're using the top part of your brain, your neocortex. You're able to spread your wings. And then we also know there's another way which, like, human beings can learn, but it's in a different way. They learn from the lowest part of their brain. And we learn that from, like, habit, and we learn that from fear, and we learn that from, like, being really, really drilled down. Like, this is, like, hypnosis. This is, like, our brain sort of, like, base levels. And each of them have certain, like, you know, there's a certain time and place for each of these abilities. But medical school, or really any education which is built upon the concept of stress, of stress. The more stress there is in an educational system, the more the indoctrination will hold. Whatever the indoctrination is, it's like that's what happens when a human being is in a stress mode. They're like their higher brain can't work. Their emotional brain's all like ah, and then this other thing is like, let me just go and tell you how to do it. Like, just tell me, Daddy. Just tell me how to make it go away. Like that's MK Ultra. That's how the human being works. That's like, you know, the internal alchemy. It's like we all have that. It's like this is. That's what they study. They understand the human being for so long that we're like tricking a 3-year-old. Like you see a 3-year-old, is like really friggin' smart compared to like, you know, maybe a cricket. And so it's like, you know, on a certain level, like the 3-year-old is like super smart, but it's like play a game of chess or hide and seek. Like play a game of hide and seek with a 3-year-old. And I guarantee you're probably gonna win every single friggin' time. It's because we know how they think. And we are understood how we think. And if we don't have that level of self-awareness, both in terms of understanding the human being and then understanding ourselves as a unique human being, well, then it's like, you know, it's with greater ease we can be manipulated. So all of this is like just how a human being is. You go to medical school. I got a super driven person and they're willing to do whatever it takes to get the job done. And then I put them in medical school. And that's like, you know, incredibly tough. And it's like, you know, incredibly hard test. And I'm going to push you academically as hard as I can. And then as soon as you do that, you get to become a doctor and then you get to go and work residency. And you get to work like, I don't know, if you're lucky, 18-hour shifts, you know, 24-hour shifts, inhumane shifts. Like, why would you do that? And there's a certain level of like camaraderie and which is built into the system, like, you know, one doctor to another, like one fraternity to another, one skull and bones to another, which is like, you know, you're part of the club now, like one secret society. This is like not a bad thing. Like tribes have always done that. Part of the human experience is mystery. There's nothing wrong with mystery, but within mystery, there can be like, there are blind spots. So we have that built into like the medical system, and I'm not trying to like, you know, shit on anyone's like ideals or like, you know, I'm a doctor and I'm a great person. Like maybe you are. I'm just telling you, this is the system which you went through, no matter how you want to think about it, it was done that way. And so the question becomes like, all of that's a setup. Like what is our situation is set up to worship doctors, and doctors were created to be a certain way. And this has just been in the works for 60, 70 years. So the question becomes, and like where you really want to know is like, well, where'd the system come from? Well, the system came from the same people who came up with the UN and the Council on Foreign Relations and our educational system and the Federal Reserve. It's the same friggin' people. And so if that's a system, which you're like, you know what? I think that's a friggin' awesome system. Like, you know, they've shown that just with a few people, they can really get a lot of shit done. You know what? I'm going to support that system. Well, you know what? That's your choice. And this is your system. I'm going to give you a history lesson. But if you're kind of like, you know what? I don't think that's how we should live. You know, I don't think that's my human expression. Yeah, I can learn from this environment. Yeah, I can metaphysical abstract it to like, you know, to kingdom come. But it is, I don't want to live that way. I've played that game. I want to live like Tartaria. I want to live like it was before the mud flood. Now, if that's a metaphor, it may be, it may not be, but I like what it symbolizes, because like the man in the high castle, we need to have a vision in our mind of what other realities look like. And what I'm going to suggest right now is we are in the middle of a major transition. And that transition is just as true for whether you're going to believe the story they're going to put in front of you or you're not going to believe the story they're putting in front of you. We're at a point in time, like, guess what? This is when you can do like some pretty miraculous stuff. And so going back to your question. So I'm sorry, I'm going all over the place.
No, that's no problem at all.
I want to go to where this all comes from. It all comes from the Flexner Report.
Okay.
The Flexner Report is a book-length landmark report of medical education in the United States and Canada, written by Abraham Flexner and published in 1910 under, how do I pronounce that word? Aegis? The Aegis of the Carnegie Foundation. That's going to tell you something about whoever like edited this edition of the Flexner Report that Aegis is within their vernacular. Like, that's a word which they use. Like, I don't know who that is, but I know that if I can find out who uses that word, that's like, you know, who did that. But so this is what I want to focus on. Many aspects of the present day American medical profession stem from the Flexner Report and its aftermath. The report called on for American medical schools to enact higher admissions and graduation standards and adhere strictly to the protocols of mainstream science in their teaching and research. Like, that sounds friggin' awesome. Like, yeah, I want my doctors taught right. I don't want a bunch of quacks, you know, and they probably did a whole bunch of good stuff. Like, it says they got rid of electrotherapy. They got rid of homeopathy. They got rid of traditional osteopathy, eclectic medicine, psychomedicalism, you know, all of this stuff like became illegal to practice. It says right here that doctors were derided or jailed. And what would happen at that same time, a new medicine was given to in its place. You know, you take something away and now I'm going to give you this other thing. And what they did is through the Rockefeller Foundation, through all the money of the Rockefeller and the Carnegie Foundation, they funded all of these new medical schools, Johns Hopkins and Harvard being like the primary original ones. And they're like, we're going to give you whatever money you want. They selected the first directors. It's so important about the directors and like the who sits on the chairs. When you give the money, you get to decide who has those positions. And then you are able to hold influence on what and how it's taught. So, okay, the Flexner Report. So now what we're going to do is we're going to look at who's behind it. So Abraham Flexner was an American educator best known for his role in the 20th century reform of medical and higher education. The entire system, it was created by this man. And so what you have to realize is this man, Flexner, is also the founder of the Institute for Advanced Study in Princeton. Do you know what the Institute of Advanced Study in Princeton is?
No, please.
All right. So it is best known. It's still around today. It's you probably know what the Esalen Institute is, or you know what, even what,
I've heard.
What do you call it? Well, it's on the tip of my tongue right now. Where they go into the oaks and they burn the owl. Bohemian Grove.
Yes.
Bohemian Grove, Esalen. Yes. The same part of the world, same people, same sort of techniques. So regardless of what you think about, particularly the Esalen, like, they're on cutting edge in terms of really understanding how to get into the mind, the higher mind of the person. So like there is an understanding of how to get into the lower mind. And that's simple. You just put people in immense fear, in immense sleep deprivation, in immense isolation, in immense stress. What you're going to do is you're going to, like, this is how you go, and you indoctrinate people. But then the opposite is like, well, okay, well, what happens when we want to go and unlock the higher mind? Because these people want to know that too. And so it's the opposite. I want to create the most amazing experience possible. I want to make it comfortable. I want to make it beautiful. I want to make certain that everything which you would have to think about, you don't have to think about. And I'm going to bring together the smartest, most interesting people from so many different fields. And I'm going to get you guys all fucked up. And then let's just see what you guys do. You know, there's no pressure. Just if you want to do nothing, do nothing. So they did that. Esalen is definitely one of like the most obvious places. And that's where we get like so much of like the Silicon Valley culture. We get the Burning Man culture. We get all of that kind of like really kind of like the transhumanistic, but like spiritual aspect. Like that all comes from that same hippie vibe. Like there was a date. August 19th, 1995 is when they did the switch, when they switched it from the old version of the Silicon Valley Rosicrucian land to like the new version. But that's where they do that. So they do that. And we know about the Esalen, and the Esalen is pretty much open to anyone who's got to pay, who's willing to cut a check. But the Institute of Advanced Study, this is the real deal. This was created for academics. This is where Einstein, John von Neumann, all of the, like, the heavy hitters of, like, quantum physics, all of these guys from, like, the 40s, 50s, the beginning of, like, the whole cybernetics movement, they all came to the Institute of Advanced Study. They still do it to this day. They bring these people. You're given, like, this is how it works today. So you will be given, like, a six-month stay there. You get it like a desk, you're around all these other like really smart people, accomplished people, but in different fields. So there's no real competition. I always make certain there's no competition. It's always like staggered. It's like someone who's really good at picking the guest list at a dinner party. It's like, oh, I know these two are really going to get along well. It's like, you know, it's done well. And they're put in this beautiful place and they're given like access to everything they would need. And it's not like as far out there as Esalen, but it's like, you know, it's more exclusive. Like you have to be invited for it. And it's like, you know, you've published papers or you've discovered something and they brought these people together. So my point of all this is Flexner was the founder of it. He knew exactly how the human being worked.
And there's something I want to point out if the Please. Audience hasn't noticed at the bottom where it says Bernard Flexner, a New York lawyer, was a prominent member of the Zionist Organization of America. He served as counsel for the Zionist delegation to Paris Peace Conference and was president of the Palestine Economic Corporation. He was one of the founders of the Council on Foreign Relations. Just that whole little paragraph right there. If you're one of my audience and you followed my show for any length of time, that is red flag after red flag after red flag about this individual you're speaking of.
No, these are brothers. Abraham, right. Simon, Bernard. We've got the founder of American education and medicine. We have the founder of the Council on Foreign Relations, and we have the first director of the Rockefeller Institute for Medical Research, 1901 through 1935. You know when the Rockefellers were doing all that eugenic shit? This is when they did it. This was the guy who oversaw it all. These are three brothers that through the funding and personal guidance of Rockefeller have specifically designed the infrastructures of what we know of education, of what we know of like gene manipulation. Like we can see the perspective with the eugenics. We can see like the design of like how they're going to put it into play. And then we're also going to see like the governmental, the higher level design, like everything which the Council on Foreign Relations is, like how it fits in with all the other roundtable groups, how it fits in with the Club of Rome, how it fits in with Chatham House, how it fits in with the business leaders, with the nonprofit leaders, how it fits in with the UN, how it fits in with the Treasury Department. Like, you know, all of this stuff is connected. So now we go and we look back. It's like everything which we're seeing right now is based upon this idea that these doctors are friggin' awesome. Doctors are the best. Why don't you question their white coat? Right. And I'm not saying doctors are bad. I'm just saying some people, how long have you been like hip to the Rockefeller game? Like maybe 10 years?
Oh yeah. I'm at least almost 10 years probably.
Yeah. They've been hip to it since like, I don't know, 120 years. Like they've been planning this for like we caught up onto this like 10 years ago. Like these guys are like, oh yeah, we figured out like probably like, I don't know, like 95 years ago, at some point you're going to catch on to it. So this is what we're going to do when like enough of you do that. And oh yeah, like 40 years earlier to the day, we put these like Georgia Guidestones, and 40 years before that, we had the Three Mile Island. Three Mile Island was a hoax. Three Mile Island freaked the fuck out of the planet, and it was a hoax.
When you take a step back, and already I can see where this is going, you start to look at the information, you start to see how events unfold, how they're manipulating the media, how they're manipulating us, the changes that they want to see. The way I see it unfolding, I see a few different possibilities, but this is one of them, is that they knew that we were going to be awakening as humans during this period of time. They're terrified of this, absolutely terrified of it, and they're doing everything possible to not only prevent that, but to further this transhumanism agenda, to make us everything that natural humans shouldn't be, the world that they want to manifest. That's just one of the timelines that I see that we could be heading down. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think now's the time. I mean, you know, pardon the pun. Time is meaningless. Timing is everything. So the timing is upon us. So you were so spot on when you said, let's take a step back, because you're right. Like, you know, it's kind of fun to tear this apart, but let's take this back and take it back to the level of I'm in this body and I'm having an experience, and I think these people are too, and this is what the experience looks like. And then everything else is like, we're kind of adding description onto it. Something's happening right now, and somewhere further down the road, there are people who are seemingly have figured out some glitches, which I'm kind of late to figuring out, which are just part of the game. And so we're seeing all of that happen. But my sense is everything which I'm seeing from what I think I'm good at is I'm good at observing and connecting. And I think this is what humans are good at. We hear this a lot. We're like, well, the human brain is wired to see connections. I'm like, well, you just said that's the answer. The human brain is wired to see connections because we're supposed to see connections. Because if we weren't wired to see connections, we probably, you know, we'd been wired to see something else. So what we see are reflections. And so let's say, like, me, you, the listeners, like, you know, out of 100 people, like, we'll call ourselves, like, you know, we'll say, like, we have some degree of awareness that awakeness. We're not fully awake, but we realize something's going on, and there was a point that we didn't realize something was going on. Like, we've changed, our perspective has shifted. We may not have shifted all the way, but we know that it's different than what it was. So I would say, like, I don't know, 15% of the population, 10%, like, if you had 100 random folks, which you just grabbed from the airport, like, how many would you say, like, would fall under, like, a lot of the things, like, what you pointed out before when you said, my listeners, you know, they're going to know that we know how the game works. Like, how many people know about the Council on Foreign Relations and how they direct the outcoming of human life?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, it's an extremely small percent. However, there may be more now in the past couple of years, still it's a very small percentage.
Like 10%, 15%. Like, I'm just ballparking. And like, maybe a couple years ago, it was 7%. A couple years ago, like, you know, at one point there is like some dude, like, when I read Robert Anton Wilson's books, like, Robert Anton Wilson is like, if there's anything to read, if you got time on your hand and you're going to be reading, get your hands on Robert Anton Wilson. Like, just from the fact that this guy wrote this stuff in the 70s, and he's like ripping through like conspiracy theory like any computer pro from like nowadays, who can go and like cross-reference 1,000 things in like a minute, which probably took this guy like 6 weeks, like card catalogs and like calling up other places and microfiche. So it's like, when you read this, like, not only is it phenomenal research, he's funny, and you're going to see some stuff. So Robert Anton Wilson, where is I going with all this? So Robert Anton Wilson, he got me really like to see things in a certain way. So everything is balanced. We say 10%, and it's gotten smaller and smaller, or it's gotten bigger. It used to be smaller. So what my sense is, we are in a sample of human beings, and we were like, you know, we represent a small percentage. Like, the culture was not meant to see this. And even those that have not gone through the indoctrination like us, like most normal people, it would not occur to them to think in the way that they would need to think in order to see the degree of slight-handedness, underhandedness, which is being applied to the human being. But my sense is, like, there is, a equal proportion of the amount of the population that seems to love it, that like is completely addicted to it, that will fight and kill to keep that, as there is at those who want to continue control. Like that is a mirror balance. And I think like, you know, whether we're like 10% or 15% or who knows, maybe we're the 99%. And it's all like, you know, just projection on the computer box. But regardless of whatever there is, I think on the other side, whatever that other side may be, you know, there's an equal percentage as well, because everything's in balance. And what I think is going to happen real soon, there's, I've always heard the story that there was like, you know, 2% control of the world, 3% are aware that the 2% control of the world, and that 5% is fighting over the 95, you know, who are going to get it. And so I think there's maybe like a degree of that. And so going back to the very beginning of like, everything has changed. Everything has prepared us. Like each of us, like if you are hearing this and this is like resonating, if you're like, yeah, like something has changed and I do see this and this does make sense. And there's something inside you. And there's also, like you said before, there's like a call. You feel good because there's part of you, which is like, this does not feel foreign. This feels like this is where I'm supposed to be right now. And I guarantee you're not the only one who feels that way. There are people who are looking around and they're like, everything has brought me to where I am right now. Whether they are like in a community of 1,000 people, like some like amazing place somewhere in the tropics. And they're like, I saw that coming 10 years ago and I got the fuck out of there. Or you're just like someone who's waking up to it like, you know, holy shit, I'm in the middle of Manhattan. I'm not going to be able to get off. Everything that you have, like everything has been your training. And it's like, we are this like special forces. We're the Jedi. We're the, whatever you want to call it. We've woken up, but we've got kind of a Jason Bourne type quality in the fact that how we get here, who are we, what's going on? And that's going to ring true. And you're going to say like, is that a metaphor? Or is that like, are you telling me like something serious? Like, is there something opening up in my DNA? You know, I don't know. But something is shifting right now. And when you said, I see this timeline in front of me, it's like, well, to get to a different timeline, there has to be a very, very, very different internal experience as well.
I agree. And, before we get to, I guess, some possible solutions, possible positive outcomes, timelines, do you think that the ultimate goal here for these controllers is what I talked about, transhumanism, ultimate control, making us less of humans and more of building us in their own image of what they want us to be?
100% right. So it's like there's been this movement from Homo sapien to Robo sapien. You know, that is what it is. So like whatever it is, how you're going to define what it means to be human, like that's being extracted. And to me, a big part of that is going to be this correspondence between what we're calling the limbic center in the brain and then the heart field in what we looked at before. My sense is like there really is a change happening to the human being. Like that is a universal truth. The human being is changing. No matter how you want to look at it, the human being is in a change of state. And because this change is happening, like, you know, how, whatever the game may be, there is a level of reality that either created that change itself or is just trying to hijack that change. They're trying to go and really, really separate it and turn it into something which is very, you know, transhumanism is only just part of it, because it's really to become just the machine, to not even have a body, to be a ghost in the machine, if you will. But yeah, there's a group that wants to push that way. And so this is my sense, and you know, I could be wrong, but this is what rings true to me, because we're coming to a place right now where like we're going to have to really do a litmus test to our ringing true. Like we're going to have to make our internal compass more sharp with greater resolution than it's been before. But I think it's going to be easy. I think we're going to be able to do it. But what's ringing true for me is that it's the what we're going to be witnessing is a a Wizard of Oz type scenario where there's just like a little man who is behind a curtain, who is pulling a bunch of like levers to like create a scenario which never was really happening to begin with. And I mean that in a real way. Like, and right now we have that choice. Like, I believe that it's being orchestrated on a level which is in alignment with universal truth, which means that it's built upon loopholes. What loopholes are, it's like, well, it's not exactly in defiance to the universal truth, but it's not the spirit of the matter. It's a loophole. And so it's like, they're just going to coerce you to go a certain way and they're going to threaten. But at the end of the day, you got to say, yeah, I'm going to roll up my sleeve. I want to have the digital tattoo vaccine ID. You know, at some point that's what it's going to be. And it's going to be like, and the truth of the matter is this, it's so that you can get back into the system of electricity. And when it comes down to it, I mean, so here's part of it. So the question is, are people really getting sick or not? I personally have not seen a sick person. I personally, there's a big part of me which says, like, I don't think anyone's even getting sick. I think they're just manipulating the numbers because the numbers don't make sense. But that being said, it's very possible that there's like a bioweapon out there, some of it. So it's possible. I haven't seen it. I'm not saying that's not. What I think is more likely is that it is being timed to coordinate with the natural die-off that's going to happen with the introduction of the 5G network onto the atmosphere. And so if there is going to be a mass die-off, my sense is like when you hear about like particularly the respiratory ailments and the respiratory ailments which do not have like a very like, you know, mucousy pneumonia type cough, the dry cough, it's because they're not taking in, they're unable to assimilate oxygen because of what happens to the oxygen molecule at the frequency in which at least one of the bands of 5G operates. Like, if you read into 5G, it's the most confusing thing in the world. Like, it's spread across like these different frequencies, and there's like, I can't tell, is there a handoff? Some are only work inside, or they can't go through walls, you know, but some can, you know. It's very, very, from what I've gathered, when you like, they will, if you read the material out there, like the first material makes it sound like as simple as apple pie. Like, you know, that's written for the consumer, like the popular mechanics consumer. Like, I want to know how 5G works. And like, oh, 5G takes this part of the spectrum. And then you know, when you get deeper into like the actual mechanical engineering rags and they explain like what's going on, they're like, no one's really certain why it works. They just know that when you do this and this, it works. You know, there's not really a control. It's probably like CERN, you know, assuming CERN is an actual thing and not just an idea. But anyway, so the point being is like there is that level of reality. And that is that timeline which you're talking about. The timeline is what all of the magic is about. So the state-sponsored magic, like what I've come on here before, I talked about the Susquehanna mystery. What the Susquehanna mystery is a demonstration of where magic ties into timelines. So what has happened is they've taken an intent and they've applied it on the etheric realm and they've anchored it into something physical. And there's nothing more influential on our physical environment than rivers. And so they went to the oldest river, and that's why you've had like the first computer, the first like electrical distribution, and the first like British colony, the first part of globalism. It's to anchor it in, to create a timeline so that human energy is going to go somewhere. It has to connect with something greater, and it will go into this timeline. Just like, you know, internally you go into a neural pathway. Like, this is a timeline is an etheric pathway, and there are multiple, there are more naturally forming, unfolding pathways. And then you've got some which are like, you know, the magic ones. I'm going to put this lattice and see if I can capture as many fish as I can. You know, it's like one of those huge fishing nets in the ocean. You know, all these fish, they're swimming around. They're like, oh fuck, I just got caught by a net. So So that's kind of happening. So all of that's true. Everything, and so, but because they understand what they're doing, they can't force you, because that would be against a universal law to make you do something against your will. So they will do everything they can. And the strongest thing they can do is social shaming. Social shaming is the strongest tool they have. And they pulled out all the weapons right now. Social shaming is 10 times bigger than like a bunch of like thugs coming, like the big booted guys, the Nazis kicking down your door saying you got to do this. Because when you do that, you and your neighbors band together. You and your neighbors band together because you got a common enemy. So the art of war, that's why I say this is an art of war. They made your enemy your neighbor. They made your enemy your neighbor, because that's just going to turn you in. Because if you cough around them, you know, you're going to kill the grandmother, you know, it's just friggin' nuts. So that was done. So they're going to coerce you. You're going to be coerced, because you don't, particularly if you've come to a point where you recognize like humanity is part of a family, like you don't want, you can't wake them up before they're ready, and that it's just going to cause more harm, and you're going to want to do the right thing. So it's like, you're like, what do I do? I don't want to go along with it. So this is where the third path comes, and this is where the higher truth comes. So we're at a period where, there's going to be a major change in life. Like, this is the timeline shift, like something big is happening to the nature of our reality. And because of that, each human being by universal law requires alone time. And so the people who are hijacking, like, all right, I'll give them the fucking alone time. And so but they can't make it like horrible. They can't make it like solitary confinement. So they'll be like, I'm going to make it stressful, but I'll give them $1,000. I'll say you can't go out anywhere, but you can still get delivery pizza. You know, I'm gonna slow down your internet speed and have you beg for 5G. You know, it's like they're giving it to you, but they're not giving it to you. It's a loophole. There's a truth to it, and so part of writing this new timeline is going to be very, very personal, because this is what's going to happen to each human being. Each human being in their alone time is going to come face to face with their demon. And their demon could be anything. But for most people, it's going to be like, you know, it's going to be like an internal inner world demon. And that is going to be directly tied to whatever their next, wherever their path is going to take them. And their path is going to be like, it's going to be Luke Skywalker-esque. It's going to be our generations. If you've been alive right now, you have been inundated with mythical hero stories like no other generation has seen movie after movie after movie of like such great, you know, pyrotechnics of like going within and the hero and then the hero awakening. And, you know, each person who has lived in this culture has been, I mean, there's a truth to that, and they have been indoctrinated with that. And the higher truth of that is so that during this time, your hero from within will come about, because your new world, whatever that may be, your new timeline is going to require that. But it's going to be this, it's going to be a spectacular journey, you know, whether it's like you fighting guards in the FEMA camp, or whether you go and you wake up in Tartaria and you're wrestling an elf, you know, it's going to be like, you know, I don't know, but this is the time. This is when like the imagination, the like, let me let it down a little bit, but then still hold a semblance of reality and not get swept away. Like, you know, we are in uncharted territory. Keep your wits, but practice your skills.
Definitely. And you mentioned how there's a massive level of magic or ritualistic aspect to this. And earlier you mentioned synchronicities with 9/11. And I personally believe that all these major staged events, whether it's 9/11, Vegas, the Vegas shootings, or COVID-19, whatever it is, it's it's some sort of mass ritual. I believe that there is a level of magic involved. Who's doing it? If it's at the top level, what people are doing it, I don't know. How they're doing it, I don't know. But that's what I believe, that there is an invisible level of this beyond what we know, and it's metaphysical, and they know how to use it. It's been passed down through bloodlines, through generations,
yeah,
how to manipulate reality.
Without a doubt. And so, and that's part of like what the manipulation has been. Part of the manipulation has been so indoctrinating within the human experience that like magic is separate from what you're doing every single moment you breathe. Like your entire experience is what we call magic. Like the techniques which they're using to affect reality, it's like that's as human as can be. But it's been separated. We've given it a name. We're like, oh, it's separate. And it's got to be like, I mean, there's like high magic, there's low magic, but ultimately what it is it's understanding the relationship between you and the greater or the environment and causality and understanding that there is no separation. And so these magicians, what they're very effective at is if you've ever been to a hypnotist, like let's say like that you wanted to give up a habit and you're like, I'm going to go get a hypnotist, because what a hypnotist will do is they will instill new neural pathways in your brain. So like when you got a habit, you got a neural pathway. And what that means is like when something symbolically close to your neural pathway happens in life, your neural pathway is filled with electricity, filled with a magnetism, where it just sucks in your energy and then you pull out the habit. So that might be like, you know, I mean, that's whenever someone says they're triggered, they've been like something has happened symbolically that they respond in a very set sort of way. And so that's a neural pathway, and what that is neither good nor bad. That's just the way that the human brain and the human experience is designed. And so you can use neural pathways as a way that serve you. You can use neural pathways in a way that don't serve you. And what a hypnotist can do is they will go and lay a new neural pathway. And they do that through all sorts of different techniques. And part of it's including is like making an anchor so that it really sticks. But there are better hypnotists than there within the whole realm of hypnotists. Some are better than others. And so what magic is more or less the same sort of idea, particularly state-sponsored magic, but working on a different playing field. Inside your brain is a microcosm. That's your microcosm. And then what you're living inside of, that's your macrocosm. And they're creating neural pathways on this on a macrocosm. But that's like, it's a little bit different. It's like that can be a timeline. It's pulling in this energy for us to flow into. And they do know how to do that. I mean, that's part of, and so do we. There are certain techniques which are unique to different traditions. Like you could think of martial arts, the different styles of martial arts used to be kept secrets. And so it might be a family secret, it might be a club secret, you know, you could be part of a society where they teach you a martial art and it's very, very secretive. And, you know, that's part of your existence. And there are different competing groups with different competing martial arts. And some are very effective in certain ways and some are effective in other ways. And the same is true with different ways of magic or different ways of affecting this etheric plane. And you know, you realize that as well. And each of us, like, and how we really understand it is by understanding our inner world, we have a greater control of the outer world. And then that is our influence in a magical, etheric sort of way. And that's us lining up and picking up with our own timeline. And so when I said before, we're going to come face to face with our demons. And so whatever that's going to be, and I mean that in the most like literal sense, like, you know, whatever it is that like has created your different like defense mechanisms and personality traits and so forth, like, you know, this is how humans work. You're going to come face to face under the immense stress being in your house, and it's going to cause some internal havoc. And you're either going to go and learn and accept, recognize, and have some degree of control over that, or you just go and deny it and you try to soothe it with more and more like stimulation elsewhere. And those that learn how to control their inner world, and they learn to control their inner world by learning to control their inner demons, it's unique for each person, then they are able to control their outer world. And this is how you link up with your new timeline. Wherever you are, it's going to meet you where you are. And we've been given, I mean, this is the truth. We've been given the opportunity. They're going to make it tough. But like, for the most part, if you play along with them, like, you're going to go like, this is a loophole game, at least in the short term. At the short term, this is a loophole game.
Definitely. Now we have about 20 more minutes left. Is there any other slides that we need to get to before we get to my final questions here?
All right.
Well, I know you were talking something about a 9/11 synchronicity. You had brought it up for a second there.
Well, I talked about that. I brought this up. And so the way I see the 9/11 synchronicity, and also, I mean, so we've got this and where I got here, we'll talk a little bit. I mean, you could see it very clearly right here. So we see it more so with parallels. And when something works, I mean, there are a couple ways of looking at it. So like from a very practical, like if I'm trying to pull off an operation, if something works, well then like, let me go back to that. Let me go back to that again. Like, I mean, you can see that in any football team. Like, you know, this play works 80% of the time. I'm going to keep on doing it. And like, they're running that again. You're like, well, yeah, I'll keep on running it until it stops working. So it's like, you know, so there's that. So there's a certain level there, but there's also a level of like hypnosis tied into it. And that's where the 19 comes in. And that's like, when I say hypnosis, that's also the magic. Like I use that interchangeably, but then there's also like an echo effect. Like, you know, 9/11 was such a powerful psychic effect on our material reality that it's going to have ripples. You know, whether this is a ripple, I don't know. You know, it's probably a combination of all of them. But like, here's a good one: is like, what's the doctor's name who everyone's talking about? Fauci?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
I don't know how to pronounce his name. Well, I've only
Fauci,
read
it. I think something. Fauci. Like,
okay, so you got this guy. And so look at how he's being positioned against Donald Trump. And so you have to move out of looking at these as human beings and looking at them as archetypes that are presented for the mainstream consciousness to have their mystery play or their psychodrama. I mean, that's I'm not denying the other is true as well, but I am definitely saying this is part of the truth. And so what we see here is the storyline which is being presented is that we have someone who for one extreme or the other is in over his head, whether he means well or not. You know, this guy's in over his head, maybe a little bit, you know, maybe he's controlling everything and he's acting like he's in over his head. But regardless, like there's a thing with it. But then we've got this voice of reason right here. And like, you know, they work together very nicely. And like they balance everyone out. And like, you know, they people feel comfortable with this. And this is the exact same dynamic which we saw between George Bush and Donald Rumsfeld. Like George Bush was this like very kind of like straight shooter, kind of like, is he an idiot or is he brilliant? You know, it's like, how come he graduated from Andover Academy in Connecticut and he went to Yale and he's got this Southern drawl? Where does Yale accent go? You know, it's like, who's he fooling? You know, no one knows what's going on. Like, where is this fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, you can't get fooled again. Like, maybe that's true. I don't, like, maybe that's how he is, but regardless, like, this is the story. This is the character we're given. And in the weeks following Donald Rumsfeld, because his stock fell very quickly, like once people did a little bit of research and they're like, this is the guy who's behind aspartame. Like, it wasn't for him, there'd be no aspartame. They try to keep. So, but for a while, Donald Rumsfeld was like, everyone loved Rummy. He came out and he, like, when no one could tell you what was going on, he came in and people were really freaked out after 9/11. That's another big parallel. There has not been an event in collective history which has affected people to as large and to this degree as 9/11. I mean, there were some other big events. Columbine was big. Oklahoma City was big. Las Vegas, definitely Sandy Hook. Like those had, like, in modern time, like they had some, they were bigger than some of the other mass effect things. But 9/11 and COVID-19, they're having a different degree of power. And so, but when 9/11 hit, like, that was more so like you just got sucker punched and you're spinning around and you don't know nothing. That's why a lot of people don't remember this time with Donald Rumsfeld, but everyone loved him. And it is the same dynamic we're seeing right here. I mean, it's a little bit different, but like they look alike. They exude the same quality. And they're reassuring, and they are off playing with the same type of commander in chief energy. When you begin to like pay attention from an archetypical perspective, you see there's a pattern in how presidents show themselves. You know, the same way they say, like, it's always the tallest president that wins the election. Like, you know, there are all these different truths about like how presidents come to be. And one of it is this osculation with the archetype. But this is part of the 9/11. And the 9/11 is more so like, like, I don't want to get too bogged down into that, because it's we really need to be focused upon this time. We need to be aware of like, where are you? What are you going to do? Like, you know, what, how are you going to recognize this from a physical perspective, from a metaphysical perspective, from a practical perspective, from a spiritual perspective, from all of these different perspectives? Like, you know, your mind's got to be there. But that being said, like, yeah, this is these are the same guys.
Yeah. And I'd like to, that's what you just mentioned is kind of what I'd like to close on. I want to get your opinion on this. You know, there's all these wacky theories. There's no way to verify anything. They have some people saying that Trump's carrying out a military operation to take out down all the bad guys. Some people are saying, no, it's just purely doom and gloom. It's all for a control system. It's all to, you know, mandatory vaccines, get us into this matrix system. And I'm just wondering, is this something that someone else is going to save us from, like Trump and the white hats and the QAnon phenomenon? Or is this something that we are going to have to stand up and do something about ourselves? What are your thoughts in closing on?
All right, that's a great question, and I certainly have a very strong opinion as it relates to that. So first off, I don't think anyone's saving no one, but I do believe that there's assistance. You know, as the saying goes, like, you know, I guess it depends upon how you look at it. You're born alone and you die alone, but it's like, you know, this is alone. This experience of being alive is very social, being human, but it's ultimately like, it is like, this is your journey. So it's like, no, but I think they're saviors. I think they're helpers. I keep going back to this, and I'm just being totally honest. I don't know how the world works. And so are we, I don't know the reality. I don't know exactly like the ultimate end game, but what does seem is like, if I had to bet, I don't think that anyone who's in politics, they're part of the game. And I think politics is, you know, I don't put anything into it. So that's my general appeal to anyone, particularly. I find a great deal of tongue-in-cheek humor that the sitting president used to be a reality TV character playing himself. Like, get outside of your personal feeling of, like, how you think about, like, what this person's doing and where you think we are as a country and what. Like, take all of that emotionality out. Just throw that away if you're capable of doing. And just, like, imagine this is, like, you know, a Hollywood script. And you'll be like, yeah, we'll have the guy. And this is a plot device of having him as, like, a reality, like, TV character. And then he, like, literally is the character. Like, it's like Idiocracy. Like, what they do is they show the guy who's the president. His name is Cruz, right? He's the black guy who is, like, sexually assaulted. He was a black guy who stood up in Me Too.
Yeah, Terry Cruz.
Terry Cruz. Yes. That was that was such a friggin', like,
it was a wonderful movie.
That came out of nowhere. Yeah. That flipped the script. When like, it was a male, black male, like, the biggest, strongest guy comes out, and he, like, that, like, that's, those are the sort of things, like, that's when you see, like, when, to me, that is what a helper is. That changed one way or the other, that changed the flow of the energy when he came out. So his character, Cruz, so it's funny about Trump, that Trump is a representation of Cruz and Idiocracy. Because the Cruz character, I don't know if he was a movie star, like, he was kind of like a Rambo, like, he always had a gun, and he had these, like, huge, and he had huge guns, he had huge arms, he was shooting it. And as a president, he spoke just like his character. Like, and it was very, very funny. Like, Mike Judge is something special. And so, like, when I say special, like, I don't know what he is, but he's something special. But that's what we're seeing with Donald Trump, is he's exactly as he was portrayed in The Apprentice. Whether you want to say that's because the reality TV show is a factual demonstration of this human being, or whether it's all, like, made up, I don't know. All I know is he's represented the exact same way. There's no friggin' difference. So the fact is, he's got a lot of friggin' strangeness around him. And for me, the tipping point, the John Tesla, like, that's weird. Like that's when, John Trump, excuse me, in the Tesla connection, like, his uncle being the MIT guy. And the fact that he looks a lot like, what's his name? Julian Assange. All right, that's kind of weird. And then you got, like, the Barron Trump book. Like, how come no one ever heard of that before? And, like, that just kind of appears. And it's like, oh, yeah, the only way we know about it is because of Wikipedia. And, like, the very nature of Wikipedia is it just creates a paper trail. Like, if you don't follow through, so it's like, you know, I don't know what that means, but that's unusual to me. Like, that, I find that more interesting about Donald Trump than anything else. The fact that he does not fit any other previous description of or portrayal of a president, and that he is doing it in a way that's, I mean, it's just like, I find it like, I can't stop watching it. So my sense is, if there's such a thing as a helper or a white hat, like, not just like an inside guy, like, I'm talking like on the level of, like, I can time travel, or I work on the level of reality, which is one degree higher than what those that are unable to do that, whether that's time travel or something else, I don't know. But, like, this guy seems to got it. And for that, like, that's what I would think a helper would look like. And what a helper does is it is your game. He's going to, like, change the flow of, like, when Terry Crews stepped into Me Too, and you've got the biggest, like, strongest, like, representation of masculine energy. And he's like, yeah, some dude's, like, just grabbing me in my junk. And I was at a party and I didn't know what to do. It's like, I couldn't punch him in his face because, like, I want to work. But, like, you know, what do I do with it? And you as a man, you're like, fuck, what do you do with that? And, like, Terry Crews just flipped, like, what seemed to be like a very hijacked movement. And that's, to me, what a helper does. It's like Trump came in and it's like, like, I read the stuff which he puts out on Twitter, and what goes through from my mind, like, I don't care what he says. I'm like, no one has ever talked to the American public that way before. And I'm like, what is this guy is changing the way. And to me, what that is it moves the energy, because this is an inside game. And we've been given the time right now. Now, this is what you said. What are the things to do? This is what I do. I'm sharing what has really come into my life just recently, like on the steps leading up. You know, I took on Kundalini yoga. Like, I've practiced lots and lots of yogas in my life, and I like yoga. Like, I like being physical, like, works with me. And I've always had kind of I was not interested in Kundalini yoga. I knew what it was. It's just like, I've done lots of breath work before, but for whatever reason, I didn't want to do it. Kundalini yoga is if 5G, like, it works on you physically for 5G and breath work, but it does something else, and it will give you something to structure your day around, and it will work on you. I definitely would recommend, like, someone taking on something like that. And it's not that demanding physically. It's tough, but it's not that demanding. Start to get organized. Like, you need to have organization and structure. If you are, like, wherever you are, you need to go and find that your own structure within. And you may need to come up with a new form of structure. It's got to be a different type of structure than what you've experienced before. And you've got to be willing to, like, face whatever's uncomfortable for you. That's what a lot of this is about. And that's going to be unique for each person. Some people, that's going to be the fact that their crazy uncle, who is a conspiracy theorist, he was right all along. I can't believe he was right. Like, that's the hardest thing for them. And then, like, once they come to that, like, once they come okay with that, then, like, everything falls into place. And some people, it's like, you know, I've never been around my kids this much. And, like, I don't know how to interact with my kids. They make me insane. And it's like, well, why am I like this? Why am I disconnected like this? And, like, you know, you focus with that. Or you realize, like, why have I been putting off so much stuff? Like, I had so many things I've just put off. Why didn't I do it? Like, you know, you're going to come face to face with your stuff. And do that with some structure and some willingness to go and grow in areas you haven't. And really take this, like, how are you going to connect with human beings and realize the bullshit for what it is? Like, you know, and be willing, like, something's going to come. Something's going to pop. Something will pop, I guarantee.
I agree. And that was great advice. Michael, thank you so much for coming on. That was amazing information. I hope everyone can take something from it, because there were gems in there that we spoke of, and I'd love to have you back on in the near future. We can dissect some more, because there's plenty of rabbit holes that we can go down.
Definitely. Before we hang up, can I give some locations where people can find me?
Of course.
So right about now, we all got to start supporting each other. And, like, you know, everything which they've given us is, like, it's an inversion of the truth. And that's always constantly inverting. Like, that is part of the truth in nature. You can't just go, it's like trying to cut something in half. You can cut something in half infinitely. So every single thing, whether it is inherently destructive or not, like, you know, it's built upon a higher truth, and the destructive element has a higher truth in it as well. So right now, as long as we still have this system which we have in place, until you have another system to step on, we're going to have to go and support each other. So there are a couple ways which people can support me. I have a Subscribestar account. You go to Subscribestar and do Susquehanna Alchemy. And I put out information. I put out primarily everything for free on YouTube or BitChute, you know, wherever I can get to all people. But I put it out for free, or put it out sooner on the Subscribestar. And there's some other, like, perks that go along with it. But, like, the couple dollars which you throw, it allows me to go and make these videos and be able to, you know, anyone who goes into, you know this, you know the drill. But that being said, You know, what I really do is I do this type of work on people's story. Like, I tell their story through astrology, and I do this very unique and beautiful way, which I go and I present their connection with the heavens. That's what the natal chart is. It's the placement of the heavens when they took their first breath in human form, and I tell their story. And particularly now, as we have this time to do this inner work, like, it is even more important to know thyself. And so if this is something you're interested in, I do two different types of starboard ceremonies. A regular one where I basically just tell the what the natal chart looks like. You know, you order it and I send you a flash drive, or I put on Dropbox if we can no longer use the mail, and you watch it. It's not interactive. It's like you receive a file. Or we do the more advanced one, which is Starboard Plus, and you fill out like a pretty in-depth intake form. We have a conversation and I get to see like how you really are. And I see like hear your stories. And then I see like actually how your chart has shown itself in real life. And I point out things maybe you've missed and like really explain like, you know, this is why you keep on having these different, these reoccurring themes. And so, if you're interested in that, you can order those at Susquehanna Alchemy. I got a whole bunch of other stuff there too. I'm an artist. I make a lot of stuff. So that's a great way to learn, grow, and then also support, you know, researchers like me and like you. I've got a YouTube channel. There you're going to see a lot of good work on the Susquehanna mystery. All of that's there. That's Susquehanna Alchemy. And then Instagram, you can follow me there. That's Susquehanna Alchemy as well. And there you're going to get like updates. And, you know, I'm really not that computer savvy. I've been putting this off for about 4 years, but the timing, like my own inner timing to actually like say, I guess I'm going to go and start like sharing all of this information, like in a way of like building the technological infrastructure. I might be, my partner, Jenny, she's always like, you're 10 years behind everyone. You're just coming out to like all of these things. I'm like, I never wanted to do it, but like now is the time, you know, to get the information out. And like now this is the way we're going to be supporting each other. You know, I want to go and invest in other people as well. So it's the free stuff is the Instagram and the YouTube. You know, you can share my stuff, like my stuff, and the other stuff. If you could throw a couple bucks, that's a great thing as well.
Definitely. And I highly recommend the Starboard reading. The one you did for me was absolutely amazing. You learned so much just about yourself. It's a beautiful ceremony. And also check out the previous show that me and Michael did about the Susquehanna Alchemy and the mystery surrounding the river. That was a fantastic show. Michael, thank you so much again, and we will have you back on soon.
Until next time.